And our special guest, Nancy Leader, we're going to take your phone calls for Nancy. And when you do call, you can address the question to her directly or ask her to, of course, get the Zetas, and she'll do that as well. She channels them. So we'll be back in a moment with your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back with Nancy Leader and your phone calls. And again, when you do call, ask the question for either Nancy or the Zetas, and she'll do the channeling if need be. The Zetas themselves, what do they look like, Nancy?
Well, some people would say they look like the Greys. You know, they're very thin arms, legs, clunky feet, big heads, big black eyes, no visible ears, although they have ears. They're more like a hole on either side, tiny little slit of a mouth, two little dots for nostrils, and that's what they look like. High cheekbones. I think they're beautiful, actually.
And you find them to be pleasant, don't you?
Oh yeah. I'm working with what the good-hearted. 95% of every race is good-hearted. They're in that batch. And and I consider them like family, like good friends. Met them when I was 7 or 8 years old, down in the woods, and been chit-chatting with them ever since. As part of the hybrid program, meaning I volunteered to give my ova in my teens, and I was a virgin till 19, but was able to produce eggs since the age of 10.
Ah.
Very, very active in all of that, and they can sit there. It was basically, can you help us? We're trying to develop a new hybrid race. We need ova. And answered all my questions. We talked about the universe, and, et cetera. So I had always wanted to be a communicator in my past lives, because I have about 1,200 lives. I wanted to, during the time of the pole shift, during this time, I wanted to be a communicator, relay information to mankind, and they said, we'll back you on that. Well, it became Zeta Talk, and it became much more successful than they expected. They had to reorient people from other teams, reorient Zetas from other teams to back me up. So here we are with Zeta Talk. I'm 75 years old and still going strong.
Good for you. Good for you. And you're still in Wisconsin, I guess, right?
Yes, I am. Right.
That's a great state.
Walking the talk.
Great.
Not on the San Andreas. Nope.
Are you a Green Bay Packer fan?
Yes. Well, sort of-ish. Yeah.
Can the Zetas predict who's going to win things?
If they have a statement called "in the hands of man," if it's something where, because man has free will, and where the free will can twist it this way or that way, they don't want to predict because you can't tell. If it's like geological changes, if it's an explanation for why something is happening, like what happened in Hoboken, the electromagnetic pulse, etc., they jump right in. But they don't like to. They won't deal with money either. You can't say, well, who's going to, what's the winning lottery ticket,
mm-hmm.
that type of thing, because they think we should not have money at all. And their
well,
answer
they might be right there.
You should be on the barter system. What are you doing with stocks and bonds and cash and, get seeds and chickens and goats and learn to garden and move inland from the coast? And so that's the answer you'd get on that.
Nancy, will they step in to bail us out of some problem, or will they let it happen? Case in point, the Fukushima disaster, nobody stopped it. Do they have that ability?
Yes, they do, and they did, in fact, interfere. The Council of Worlds allowed interference because my understanding is it was not a natural plate movement occurrence, that it had to do with, if you read Ben Fulford at all, he goes into all this financial wrangling behind
the
scenes.
Oh, sure, yeah.
That apparently somebody put a nuke in down under the seas because they were trying to blackmail or force or intimidate Japan into doing thus and so with alliances and what they did with their money and whatever. And so it was a man-made disaster. And they mitigated it, according to my understanding. The Council of Worlds allowed a mitigation. It would have been worse if that had not happened.
All right, let's go to the calls. And again, you can ask Nancy or the Zetas. Let's go to Jay in Florida. Welcome to the show. Hi, Jay.
Good morning, George and Nancy. I'm first, huh?
You are first.
I don't think that's happened before. I didn't expect that. Okay. I kind of had some comments and questions.
All right.
Did you want me to do...
Let's go your comments, and then your question will be for Nancy or the Zetas.
Well, I would prefer Nancy.
You got it.
Because I recently discovered, and as I'm trying to live as righteous as I can, and that we're not supposed to, and in the Bible, to not seek out psychics and mediumship.
Okay.
So preferably Nancy, and then if she needs to or wants to consult, you know, then that's up to her.
All right.
Okay.
Very good.
So she was saying earlier, well, no, that's more of a question. Okay. So if the Anunnaki are the original alien race and are also the fallen angels and the oldest original alien race, how or what is to say that everything that has come from them with all their interbreeding, whatever, at the time when they mated with the women, as talked about in Enoch, so we have proof of that, and the Nephilim, the Terrors, the Hybrids, the demigods, etc., that they are not related to Lucifer, Satan, or the devil and evil. And my understanding is where they're going to do this Project Blue Beam fake rapture, where Sananda will be the white Jesus Christ, Eve, who chose to leave Adam and the Creator and join Lucifer, will portray the Virgin Mary, and there will be 8 to 10 others who are all really aliens or demons portraying this. And I believe your recent guest, who I'm so glad you have him because he was a new discovery for me, Jeffrey Doherty,
yes,
he proclaims this, where Jesus is coming to slay you, not save you. And I'm seeing more and more people coming along the lines with this, which people need to know he's not white. He is either Palestinian or Middle East, Persian, Hebrew, Israelite, black, mixed. And the names I keep seeing the most is Yeshua, or Yeshua, so on. Okay, so going more into the question, she was talking about David and Goliath. I guess she's referring to Goliath, if that was the giant, and I guess that would maybe represent more technically a Nephilim instead of a direct Anunnaki, so it would have been a hybrid or a descendant or offspring. As far as the SOL or Sons of Light or Soul War.ru, their position of that, are they actually Masons or Freemasons that are the Sons of Light versus the Sons of Darkness? And if there's a timeline and maybe more of a geographical location, especially since I'm only about 45 minutes from outside of St. Augustine with Florida, of the timeline of the pole shifts and the tsunamis. And are those directly related or separate, such as people are having these prophecies of asteroids and such?
Okay. There is no timeline for the pole shift, and the reason is, as Jesus said, none shall know the date of my return, and that is because it would be used for harm, that people who knew when the pole shift was going to happen would try to round people up into slave camps or eliminate by poison certain groups that they didn't want around, you know, steps that they wouldn't normally take, but that they would feel free to do because who's going to stop them after the pole shift? The police won't be there, etc. You can't dial 911. Okay. Everything that you rattled on about the fallen angels and this and that, none of that jibes with what the Zetas are saying. They're saying that the Anunnaki are another race of man just like us. You know, they have good guys and bad guys. They lean a little bit more toward, you know, rules and regulations and cruelty than we do. But other than that, they're just like another culture. We have various races of man and cultures here on Earth. So they're not going to be allowed to return. So all of that you have rattled on about does not jive with Zeta Talk, nor will they do a one-on-one confirmation or rejection, you know, and they decline to do that because people come forward and say, well, what about this? And we would have to say, well, that's not true, and this is partially true, and this is... So they don't do that. They say, unless another source can predict with great accuracy, as ZetaTalk can, they won't address it. In other words, ZetaTalk has predicted when Nibiru would come into the solar system. They predicted the wobble. They've predicted, I could go on and on. So unless this other source, you know, has that kind of accuracy prediction, they don't get a comment from the Zetas. So that's my answer.
Nancy, with the Zetas and their, you know, forthrightness in telling you, do they bring things forward, or do you have to ask?
Well, it's supposed to be that I ask, you know, but in other, ZetaTalk has been written based on answers of questions posed to them. And if somebody counted the pages and said, you got 40,000 pages there, but by my count, it's more like 10,000 that are representing ZetaTalk. But that's at 20 years, you know, and we're prolific. So we just keep churning it out. So it's technically, it's the answer to the call. Aliens cannot counsel humans unless the human requests. So therefore, someone asking a question is giving the call. And otherwise, they can't intrude, in other words. They can't, people are not chosen to be contactees or chosen for roles or whatever. They volunteer. The human is always in control.
Always?
Yep.
No deviation there?
Nope.
All right, good.
And although there's a lot of disinfo about, you know, and they dragged him away and thus and so, that's complete BS.
Next up, let's go to Michelle in Green Bay, Wisconsin, your neck of the woods. Hi, Michelle. Go ahead.
Hello. My question is for the Zetas.
For the Zetas it is. Okay.
About 5 years ago, I had almost died, and I was surrounded by beings before I was going to pass. Could you tell me who they were?
Okay. Here's a ZetaTalk. These were spirits representing humans that you knew during your lifetime, that either living or already dead, who were greeting you. They were there to escort you into your next incarnation. This is well detailed within ZetaTalk about between lives, what happens. And it was normal for people to experience this. We presume this was a pleasant experience for you, perhaps you even vaguely recognize some of the entities. They would may not particularly look like the people that you knew or remembered. They could be just a sense of a presence more than that, but they could possibly have something about them, the aura, that reminded you of this or that person. So that's who you encountered. End of ZetaTalk.
All right, good. Michelle, thank you. I hope that helps you indeed. With Nibiru, will it be amateur astronomers, Nancy, that really bust this loose for us?
Oh, good question. Actually, it's a team of astronomers. At first, it started out just to be Planet Nine was a couple of guys in the U.S. You know, Brown it was over there in Caltech, and this other guy, Whitmer in Louisiana, retired guy. And then we got a bunch of Europeans. We got Lund University and somebody in Spain and the ESO. Running their observatory in Chile. And then we had a whole other swath that included people in Hawaii or down in, the Tucson, Popescope area, all in Cambridge. And they were all over. I said, everybody in the pool, you know. So it could be. It could be, but unlikely, because what they're doing now is tracking the dark energy survey, which is infrared, and I expect, because the Zetas have said, when this is all done, It's going to be known that it arrived in 2003, like the Zeta said, and they can track it to where it is now next to the sun, and that Zeta Talk was right all along. So that what they'll do is they'll find an exoplanet, and they'll say, oh, and it seems to be in a retrograde orbit, which we're already gotten used to because of Nikku, which is retrograde and recently discovered. And they'll say a little thingy, you know, out there near Neptune, and they'll say, oh, you know, because they can track the orbit, and they say, well, here we are, and truck over to the sun. So therefore, it's going to be the dark energy survey people that are looking at these past images, years worth of images. And so that's not available to amateurs. So to start, but I think they're going to say, wait a minute, aren't all these amateurs seeing something next
yes.
to the sun? And so there would be a real potential for a role there, yes.
If an asteroid were headed toward the planet, would the Zetas divert it?
Yes. Or the Council of Worlds with. Now, mind you, we're used to thinking of aliens as being hominoid because many of the aliens that we're presented with, and even in Star Wars, you know, they're all Star Trek and Star Wars, they're mostly hominoid. That's the exception. You know, like less than 10% of all intelligent species are hominoid. They come really weird. We have this huge, you know, the Earth is in a transformative period, and we have so many aliens, disembodied aliens, too, that are higher dimensional here assisting, because so many people give the call, and there's so much turmoil going on, and it's the spiritual, it's kind of like the final exam for so many souls on Earth. So there's a lot of teachers and teachers' aides and attendants. So, yes, the Zetas have said that the Council of Worlds has plans for the Earth. This is going to be a home for the good-hearted in the future. What Jesus said, the meek will inherit the Earth, et cetera, et cetera. It'll take about 100 years for everybody who's currently incarnated as a human to, like, die and move to either shift off to a prison planet or stay and reincarnate into one of the hybrids, Zeta-human hybrids. But the majority of souls on Earth are going to be taken away to a water planet and incarnate into an intelligent octopus. So this takes it about 100 years to achieve this because we all get to live out our lifetimes. Anything that would be coming toward us that would... We're not talking about bolides and fireballs and meteors that just are showy. We're talking about a big thunk that would really, an extinction level event. It's not going to be allowed.
Nancy's website, zetatalk.com, linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. Are you doing Facebook or anything like that, Nance?
You know, I have a Facebook, but I do it, but I'm not, and I have a Twitter, but I don't attend it. I do a newsletter every week. I take questions, you know, and address them to the Zetas every week. That's New Zeta Talk Development. And I do interviews, etc., and answer email. And that fills all my time. And I'll have to, when things get really lively around here, I'll have to cut back on that too and limit it. So, no, I'm sorry. But you can, I have a Gmail where I take questions, and you can find that readily enough from my website. But be aware, we're very particular about what questions we take.
Okay, we're going to come back in a moment with final questions for Nancy Leader and the Zetas right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to our final segment with Nancy Leader, of course, as we talk about the Zetas and things that could affect all of us. What about volcanoes and earthquakes, Nancy? Any of those?
They have been steadily picking up. Since even before Nibiru arrived in 2003, because of the roiling, there's so many particle flows, and the Zetas talked about an equilibrium, you know, being upset. So it riled up our core, riled up the magma, and therefore the volcanic, it was, and it's been like, whoop. You know, the charts and earthquakes too, they don't just, it's not a lineal increase. It's like more like that parabolic exponential kind of an increase. So, yeah, and the Zetas have said that during the pole shift, Every volcano that's been active in the last 10,000 years can be assumed to go off, be 100 miles away for safety from, you know, ash and fireballs burping and the like. So they said that Yellowstone will not become a supervolcano. The reason for that is the baffling of the rock layers, as we've had so much subduction coming in from the Pacific plates, pushing under the Rockies and the Sierras. This causes rock layers, so you know, intersecting, and so that any magma coming up has to, like, baffle back and forth and back. It's like the mufflers on your car. It reduces the force.
Mommy.
So it will just be a normal volcano, Yellowstone will.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Final segment. If you want to talk to the Zetas, just tell us. We go to Wayne in Chicago on Coast to Coast. Hey, Wayne, go ahead.
Hey, George, thank you for a great show again.
You are very welcome.
It's absolutely fascinating.
She sure is.
I want to talk to her, not the Zetas.
Okay.
Quick questions. How exactly did they put their DNA in her? And can she explain this silent military coup? And the last question is, she says that like 95% of the people are going to be taken away to a planet to eventually become like octopus-like. But that contradicts what Christianity says about we will be judged, each human being, and those judged to be good will stay with the Lord and his angels forever. So, and we won't be octopuses, so can she kind of like explain that?
Sure.
Yeah, I absolutely. Well, it's not, it takes more than one lifetime to, you know, and judging goes on through tens of thousands of lifetimes, you know, where generally speaking, it takes about 1,000 lifetimes to come to the decision, do you want to be good-hearted or do you want to be, remain selfish and controlling and, you know, greedy or whatever. So it's only 5% that get hauled off to prison planets. Our Earth at the current time is about 30%, mature, graduated to good-hearted, and, you know, maybe 5% mature, graduated to staying mean and controlling, and they go off to prison planet. So that leaves, like, what are we talking about, 65% or so that are still trying to sort it all out. They're not ready to graduate. They go to become octopuses, you know, but, yes, it would contradict the Bible, not surprising, and the Quran and Buddha and anybody else, and but this is Zeta talk, and they're telling it straight, and take it or leave it. So there was another part of the question.
He's talking about DNA and then a silent military coup.
Yeah. The silent military coup. There was a lot of chatter about the chief of staff, you know, the top guy on the Defense Department, had taken over last December, January, and people were saying credible sources. Now we're talking about, you know, backroom rumors and murmuring, mm-hmm. and nothing that hit the press, you know. But it was about the time that Obama went off tangoing in Argentina, and when there was all kinds of stuff going on that it seemed inappropriate, you know. He went dancing. And then there was talk about now Paul Ryan was really in charge. Well, he was he's the Speaker of the House. The succession goes from the President to the Vice President, Speaker of the House, and I'm not sure where after that. But somebody mentioned to me that when Dunford did this and said, we're taking over, he got a resignation letter from Obama and Biden, which he's holding, you know, and will use if he has to, so that technically, if they've resigned or could resign, then Paul Ryan would be running the government. But and the decision was, this is according to the Zetas, not to make this public. And why? Because of the chaos. You can imagine, if we're under martial law, it's totally different than civil law. Our court systems would be thrown into confusion and chaos. lawyers would challenge every judge and say, well, throw it all out. We can't proceed because we're under martial law, which should be court martial only. And it would go on like that. There would be so much. So everybody agreed, my understanding, not to announce it publicly, but just to function that way. So Dunford is running things, you know, but and Obama is a figurehead, as is Biden. That's my understanding. I have no solid proof. I just know that there was a lot of rumors, and the Zetas confirmed all that. Now, the other one was, how did they get the DNA into my head? They teleported it. Now, if you watch the Little Blue Alien videos, which are linked to from the Coast to Coast website, that you can see that this little guy is out on the highway, and his truck comes right where he was, and you say, well, he's mush underneath the truck, and the truck goes by, and there he is, you know, on the other side of the truck, not having been mowed down. He went into a different dimension. So they did that. They, you know, they basically held my head in a clamp and pointed, you know, and just teleported that little bit of DNA of theirs into a portion of my head. As I recall that, they asked me lots of questions. Do you feel nauseous? Do you have a headache? You know, can you, all this stuff. Do you feel like throwing up? And to make sure that they hadn't, that they got it in the right place, not in the wrong place. And after that, because I was still not aware of my contactee status, I was aware that I was more telepathic with humans. I would know who was calling before the phone would ring, and I would play games. I would say to total strangers at bus stops, think of something, and don't tell me what you're thinking of, and let me try to guess. And it would take me about a minute, and I was at least 50% accurate, and I would play in games like that. So I had no idea why, but later, when I was doing recall and became aware of my contactee status, the whole story of this thing with the DNA came out, and then I understood.
Let us go next on our wild card line to Charles in Los Angeles. Charles, you're up. Go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
This is for Zeta, and I'll be quick.
Okay.
Yes. Many have said that the Sasquatch have the capability of going in and out of our dimension. Number one, is that true? If so, could you tell us what civilization they actually stem from? And do you think the spiritual changes are happening pretty quick?
Okay, here's the Thetas. Bigfoot is not interdimensional. Bigfoot is more an early version of mankind. You know, when we genetically engineered, when mankind was genetically engineered from the ape, etc., then this is one of the stages. So it's semi-human, you might say. It is incarnated by souls that are transplants from another world that wanted a time, an R&R, you might call it, a rest and relaxation, a time to contemplate and get closer to nature. They had run amok, and they wanted, you know, a long vacation where they could be primitive and close to nature. So there are souls. They are incarnated, as is mankind, and and they are protected from being harmed by man by a type of quarantine. This is why you don't find Bigfoot bodies. We don't have captures and the like, because they are protected, cloaked, so that men just don't see them when they're out there hunting with guns or whatever. There have been occasions when Bigfoot mated with humans. There have been Bigfoot hybrids. These are of record. Nancy has that in a newsletter at one point, documented cases. And they're not that dissimilar from mankind. So they are not interdimensional. Graduate in their own time frame, where mankind is graduating over the next 100 years to either become hybrids if they're good-hearted, or be taken away to prison planets if they're not, or to be taken away to be octopi. Bigfoot has their own time frame, and they are, in general, older souls than mankind. This is the end of Theta Talk.
Okay, next up, let's go to Isabella in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hi, Isabella. Go ahead.
My first question is for Nancy.
Okay.
Would the Zetas be able to tell me how someone or something had passed away?
It's for you, Nancy.
Yes, I'm presuming that she's asking if one of her relatives has passed away, or somebody that she knows has passed away. And here's Zeta Talk. There's a process. This is Zeta Talk. There's a process when the human body dies, often before they die, when they're very, very ill, perhaps in a coma in the hospital. The soul leaves, just as the soul doesn't necessarily jump into a newborn babe for the first few months because the babe is just sleeping all the time. So, but it hovers around the vicinity. Souls often hover around after death too, chatting with those that they are leaving. And so therefore it's not a clean, division. But soul to soul conversations are much more common than people realize. They feel that they have communicated with Aunt so and so, who's perhaps on another part of the world. This is not improbable. If two souls wish to speak to each other, they can touch, find each other, communicate, and then these souls update the brain of that body that's incarnated. So it's very common. We can interrogate souls more deliberately than humans can. In your case, you're reaching out for those you've had experience with or know. In our case, we have we can tap the database of souls, so to speak, and find the souls, and actually talk to them about their past lives also. End of Zeta Talk. I hope that's what you wanted to hear.
Did that help you, Isabella?
Well, see, what had happened was I had a puppy who had passed away, and I believe that our neighbors had poisoned her, and I was trying to get a little bit of closure to find out if that's what happened or if she was just sick.
And that was for the Zetas, that one.
So you want to know if the puppy was poisoned.
Yes.
And this is Zeta Talk. Yes, you are correct in your assumption. How you want to proceed, we would recommend when you get a replacement puppy, watch it more closely. And this is the end of Zeta Talk.
Wow, sad story indeed. Okay, let's go to our first-time caller. Mandro, truck driving in Nevada. Oh. Hi, Mandro.
How are you today, George?
Good, sir.
Awesome. Hello. My question is for the Zetas.
All right.
And I have a couple of them. And it's in regards to this crossing of our solar systems and the energy that's put out from the Nibiru planet as far as X-ray or gamma ray or energy of that sort, how it's going to affect seed stores for us if we prepared for it.
All right, let's just go with that one first because of the clock.
Yes,
Zeta.
And it was Zeta Talk. yes, indeed. There are many particle flows. Magnetism, electricity, and heat and light are just some that mankind is aware of, but there are thousands more subatomic particles that mankind is not aware of. So does this affect mankind? Mankind has survived in the past. They've survived past pole shifts. You are not affected directly by any of this, although people do get magnetic sickness. They get nausea, dizzy at times, where from electromagnetic pulse, where they don't fall over dead. Your electronics is much more susceptible to electromagnetic pulse. But heat, there is nothing in particular outside of your normal weather that you will encounter. Even when the last weeks occur and the Earth stops rotating for 5.9 days, which it does, this is a fact of legend and mythology if you look into it. Nibiru grabs the highly magnetized strip that runs down the Atlantic like an S and holds it. So therefore, those lands to the right or left of that strip have a long day, and on the other side of the globe, they have a long night. But the wind and the water keep the temperature, keep swirling around, so the temperature is moderated, and you will not freeze or fry. So we hope this answers your question, end of Zeta Talk.
Nancy, we're wrapping things up. ZetaTalk.com is your website. Let's not let 5 years go by until we talk to you again.
Hey, I'm here for you, Guy.
Okay, Nancy, you take care of yourself.
You too. Thank you all.
Nancy Leader, talking about Nibiru, Planet X. It's out there somewhere. On our next Coast to Coast program, another great set of programs. Mark Lerner joins us, the astrologer. And then we're going to talk about the Illuminati with Robert Howells. So make sure you're part of that program on Coast to Coast AM. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boas, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.